This is the subcommittee for general government. This afternoon, we're in the process of the work session on Senate Bill 5525, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. We're ready for the legislative fiscal. First of all, I'd like to, before I let Ms. Jordan proceed, just want to make sure that Jamie is okay. Okay. Our clerk says we can proceed. I wanted to express my gratitude particularly to Pam Erickson and her assistant, Barb Hutchison, and the opportunity to have had to work with them directly, as well as Commission Chair Phil Lang and Commissioner Ray Baum and others, as we've gone through the many weeks of workup and discussion on this. And I do want to welcome Pam back from her vacation, but also she needs to be very careful because she has a very capable assistant who filled in on her behalf while she was out of town. And so with that, can we proceed then with legislative fiscal office recommendation from our legislative fiscal representative, Judy Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have a memo in front of you with my recommendations detailed, and I will go through those with you. The spreadsheet details the current service budget and budget development. My recommendation is to approve the budget in the amount of $70,460,120.219.02 FTE by amending the Senate Bill 5525 as follows. Under subsection 1 for administrative expenses, I'd ask that you delete the $32,709,481 and insert $31,273,588. That is a $1.7 million reduction from the governor's revised budget. That reflects a deferral of action on policy package 203 to implement the regulatory seller certificate program that attached to substantive legislation that has not moved in the legislative assembly. It also reflects a deferral of action on policy package 203. It defers action on package 150 to implement centralized hearings in the employment department that has gone through in a separate bill. An additional reduction of $9,181 is recommended to reflect changes made in the Attorney General's rate reduction. And then finally, I am recommending that $1.2 million for the cost of credit cards be transferred to the non-limited category as cost of goods sold so that they don't have to keep returning to the emergency board for increases as their credit card activity changes. That is more appropriately handled in the non-limited category. In subsection 2 for agents' compensation, I'm recommending that you delete $37,434,577 and insert $38,541,532. That is an increase in the governor's recommended budget to reflect the increases in revenue estimates. It does reflect the governor's revised budget request. In subsection 3, capital improvements, I'm recommending you delete $605,000 and insert $645,000. That's an increase of $40,000 to reflect updated estimates for the roof replacement in the facilities portion of that budget. And I'm recommending that you add a new section to increase the expenditure limitation established for the commission under Section 1, Subsection 2, Chapter 262 for the current biennium 1997-99 by $427,040 for agents' compensation in the current biennium because revenues have come in at a higher amount than they had estimated. They need to increase the expenditure limitation in order to pay the agent. That would include an emergency clause to allow that provision to become effective upon passage so that that money can be paid out in this biennium. And then there are 8 budget notes that LFO is recommending. The first budget note is to require the commission to provide a report to the emergency board on the feasibility of allowing an expansion in the related liquor sale items by liquor store agents to include the specialty beer and the teak wine products, and allowing package store licensees to sell distilled spirits. And the report shall include the impact on agents and package store licensees and a plan to offset agents' comp by 50% of the increase in gross profits if such expenses are implemented. The commission shall establish implementation standards that include but are not limited to minimizing the impact on competitively sensitive markets, encouragement of collateral sales of distilled spirits, percentage of shelf facing for non-distilled spirits, and optimum market penetration. And the commission is also expected to develop a plan to expand stores into new markets and report the results to the emergency board by July 2000.
Now, commission, the subcommittee members, I just wanted to make sure that that you had an opportunity to digest the many facets of budget note number one relative to the directions that takes us, this is from a combination of many things which we discussed during the process of the hearing, but probably one of the things that it does is that it does look into the examine the feasibility of allowing the specialty beers and boutique wine products to be sold in the distilled markets and distilled spirit stores which are operated by the state. But it also then directs them to take a look at the possibility of opening up. Again, this is not a directive in any way, shape, or form, but it allows them to examine the feasibility of opening Oregon as an open liquor state as well. I understand that would probably take legislative action, and this does not give them authority to take that action, but it does, while they're in the process of looking at the high-end specialty beer and boutique wine products, it gives them that opportunity to look at the distilled market too. And then with regard to the so as to not penalize those folks that add specialty ends of their beer and wine, the gross profits from the expansions would be divided with the state and in these state liquor stores, then the commission establishes and implements a program where these would be done so that they would be cautious of competitively sensitive markets. We're not interested in running anybody out that is selling something next door to them in the high-end boutique wines or the high-end specialty beers that they have an advantage for distilled spirits. I think those are all items which we discussed, I'd like to have any input or comments from the members of the subcommittee at this time relative to that emergency board recommendation, which would be for July of 2000. Senator Schroeder, recognized.
I clearly like the idea of having them look at this whole area. If I'm not opposed to this, but I'm wondering about we're expecting them to develop a plan to expand stores into new markets and report the results to the emergency board. Do we have some kind of, I don't, but I wonder if anybody here does, any kind of expectation about what new markets would be, what new markets shall they expand into? I'm not sure. I see them doing a little bit with boutique wine and with some specialty beers. Do you have something in mind?
I think one of the items there, Senator, was that there are stores that are properly not properly located within communities,
mm-hmm.
and that the commission would be given authority to go ahead and relocate or examine the relocation and even addition of additional distilled spirit stores as necessary if they feel like that they're not getting the market penetration where the actual population is growing out.
Okay, so it would be using sort of the existing market, but just seeing whether or not we're servicing that market rather than trying to expand and find either new products or something else.
Well, the new product offering issue is limited up in the first sentence there to include specialty beer and the boutique wine product. And again, we're not interested in creating severe competition. And so they are limited to minimizing the impact on competitively sensitive markets to encourage the collateral sales of distilled spirits. Again, we're not looking for an opportunity just to sell one particular brand of beer because it's not sold anywhere else in town. It just says find markets that will augment your distilled spirits sales if you're going to carry those kinds of things. So.
This is not suggesting privatization.
At this point, it does not, Senator. It certainly examines
there is some expectation that down the road, privatization is what will come from this.
It is very possible that it could that privatization may, because the addition of the language. Allow package stores license, examine the feasibility of allowing package store licensees to sell distilled spirits, which would basically leave the distilled spirits in the private market, still under the OLCC's control. But that's a potential if the feasibility comes out in that direction. Thank you, Senator. Representative Hanson.
I'd like to hear both from somebody from the commission and from the representative of the agents on this sitting on this advocacy.
We are in work session, but we would invite either Pam or Barb or even Commissioner Lang if any of you would like to come forward on behalf of the commission.
And Butler, members of the committee. I'm Pamela Erickson, administrator of the Liquor Commission. We've just had a chance to look at this complete budget note in the last couple of hours. We certainly have no problem examining the feasibility of these ideas as long as it's not a full-blown, you know, $100,000 feasibility study. That's really well beyond our resources. But certainly we could look into these ideas. You know, they have a lot of different implications either way you go. So.
Any questions for Ms. Aiken?
If the idea is good, but I want to make sure that you're already. There's a lot of hundreds of the package stores. They are selling the same kind of products, and you know, the state control the liquor store selling the same product, maybe a mile away, and there's some competition in there. If that the package stores allows them to sell hard liquor, then it's fine the full market. But as long as that they are not supposed to sell hard liquor, at the same time the agency continually going into the territory where the attack is supposed to be, then we are creating some problem in it.
And we tried to be sensitive to that, Senator Lim, and limiting the feasibility to specialty beers and boutique wine products that may not be available even a mile away. Certainly, if it's available next door, the only way that they, under this budget note, could jump into that market would be that it would encourage collateral sales of distilled spirits. In other words, they would be looking for that particular wine, but would only be buying it if it's going to, if it's going to be in conjunction with other distilled spirits. We've worked this budget note over trying to make sure that we didn't infringe upon either the existing licensees that are controlling the distilled spirits market, nor going too far the other way, but trying to make sure that the mission of having the 234 distilled spirit stores that are presently licensed as distilled spirit stores in the state, to make sure that they continue to sell distilled spirits, not getting into direct competition with the folks next door. And it really doesn't make much sense unless the people are coming to the distilled spirit store to buy distilled spirits and happen to pick up a boutique wine or a specialty beer. So, again, we've tried to caution the commission on anything that they do to be sensitive about competition.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, but eventually it will. In a small way, it will compete with the taxi stores, unless taxi stores allow them to sell the hard liquor. Some kind of a boutique, a cheap style of hard liquor, if they allow them to sell, that's even. But if not, then this might create some problems of what we say that the economy is moving to the attempt.
Yes, and again, the feasibility to allow expansion and to related liquor sales items by the liquor store agents to include the specialty beer and boutique wine products, and allowing package store licensees to sell distilled spirits. So it gives them the opportunity, while they're examining the potential of selling beer and wine in a current distilled spirit store, gives them the opportunity to also examine the possibility of the other folks selling the distilled spirits. And in fact, that's where Senator Schill is coming from. Would we eventually move to a quasi-privatized where an open liquor state, if you will, where Albertsons would have hard liquor? I don't know that that's what they would recommend, but it gives them that opportunity to examine that.
Because this is just a study at this point.
A feasibility. And Ms. Erickson's comment is, as long as it doesn't have to be too exhaustive, if we can determine fairly easily that it's something that would be difficult to do without damaging our current distilled spirits operation, and it does in fact contemplate that they may actually add additional distilled spirit stores, because it talks about examining the current locations and potential new locations.
Okay, Mr. Chair, in addition to that, I'm sure when they study, I hope they include in the attached store's input on this issue to make sure they understand what's going on, not just one-sided. Well, I don't like this idea, but if it's a study, then make sure it's a balanced study. So it's come out real good.
Thank you very much. I have every confidence in the commission that they will come forward to the emergency board by July of 2000 with some kind of an input for us in that regard. And I shared with you just
one. The study concludes that they don't need to expand.
Then they won't expand.
Okay. But the note says to develop a plan to expand. It doesn't say not to expand. It says to expand.
Mr. Chair,
please.
The agency has indicated that they are now looking into expanding and that there are some possibilities that they...
So expand is probably an operative word. You're going to be expanding in some way.
Chairman Butler, Senator Schroll, let me clarify. We have looked at the possibility of adding liquor stores. We have not looked at the possibility of allowing current liquor stores to sell beer and wine. That's an expansion we have not, until now, looked at. We have not added a major liquor store since the early 1980s, and population has dramatically increased. And so we are considering adding new liquor stores.
From that standpoint, expand makes sense. But
you're going to study this first and then come up with some kind of a plan. You're required to do that.
Sharon Butler, Senator Troll, the plan, as I understand it, relates to the adding the boutique beer and wine to the related items that liquor stores are allowed to sell.
First part of the budget note is what you're planning about. Is that it?
So, Mr. Chair, what's the definition of the boutique beer?
Boutique beer? Yeah. How do you get boutique beer in there? We got specialty beer and boutique wine. And I think the boutique wine product was an item that was used and I don't know the definition of it. We talked about putting a price tag on it, and we couldn't agree on a price tag, so a boutique wine, I guess, is one that probably wouldn't be offered at 7-Eleven.
Okay, so you put the beer in a boutique or what?
Well, and specialty beers could certainly include imported beers. The concern that we had there, and I was very sensitive to that particular issue, was that if we were just going to have specialty beers, that is imported beers, that if you look further on in the note, that we are looking to the minimized impact on competitively sensitive markets, and that at the same time that it would encourage collateral sales of distilled spirits. And specifically, we talked about maybe an imported beer that a very small population would be coming and looking for, and that they wouldn't be at all interested in the distilled spirits at the same time. That would not encourage collateral sales of distilled spirits, and thus would then be discouraged from the addition.
So, Mr. Chair, if the OLCC intends to study expansion of a liquor store, that's fine. But if they want to study on this boutique beer or whatever, then it should be study should be done independently, not just the OLCC. Because it has to do with many the taxi stores and wholesalers, and the OLCC has to be involved in it. If it's strictly the distilled spirit expansion, then it's OLCC should do it. But if that includes some kind of a beer, then it should be an independent study.
Well, I would hope the commission, the Liquor Control Commission, would be open and receptive to industry's input. Let's go ahead and invite, in accordance with the suggestion of Representative Hansen, let's invite someone from the retail industry to come forward. Brian, you want to come forward? Brian represents a specific portion of the industry. Would you like to go ahead and comment, Brian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brian Bowe, and I'm representing the Oregon Retail Liquor Agents Association. We very much appreciate the committee considering this first budget note. It's a very forward-looking budget note, and we're very eager to implement beer and wine sales as a related item. We think it's a customer convenience issue, and we think that it is a very legitimate and viable proposal that can be implemented. We do have concerns about the portion of the budget note related to offsets of 50% of the increase in gross profits as such expansions are implemented. In our original presentations to the committee, we emphasized the need for agents to have increased ability to operate their business as a business and to be able, in an effort to increase their net income, and I think we laid some pretty strong evidence on the table about the appropriateness of for doing that. So we don't really understand what the intent would be in offsetting what gains the agents might have through the 50%, and would prefer if there is some concern in that regard that the budget note perhaps address that if the agency discovers that there is any loss or any loss of sales due to related items, that then some offset in the agent's compensation rate might be appropriate. It's not our intention to, in any way, by the addition of beer and wine as a related item, diminish the amount of sales of distilled spirits. As the chair has been emphasizing, we view these products as collateral to a distilled sales purchase, spirits purchase, and in no way becoming a featured item that someone would come to a liquor store for solely. So we would prefer that the budget note address it in that fashion. And finally, Mr. Chair, my last comment would be that we're eager that if the commission finds that this is viable and can implement it, that they can do it in an expedited fashion so that agents might be able to take advantage of this new product and service for its customers at the year-end millennium sales. We do anticipate increased sales. And again, we do think it would be an enhancement to a customer's choice that are patronizing state record stores. So if possible, we very much would like the opportunity to offer that by the year end to catch that uptick in sales.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bowe. And we tried to get the wording in there that it would be done in an expeditious fashion, but the wording that the best wording that we came up with in trying to get this done in an expeditious fashion became almost as a directive, and a budget note is not the appropriate place for that language. And so the best language we could come up with was just do it, do your studies so as to try and optimize the market penetration and of course push it, but they got studied better, the more they would be able to penetrate into the market for the benefit of the folks that are selling the various products. Representative Hansen's recognized.
Well, I'd like to throw out the idea of just removing, I think we're going down on the fourth line of the budget note, where it says, and a plan to offset agents' compensation by 50% of the increase in gross profits as such expansions are implemented. If that language was deleted, so it was just saying the report shall include the impact on agents and package store licensees. I'm wondering if there would be any objections to that. And I'm thinking from the standpoint, until there's really a plan, how can we make some kind of a decision until there's a plan and we know how much profit is going to be available or estimated or whatever? Why on earth would you, you know, it might not be viable unless the split was 75-25 or I just don't know how we get to that 50% split before we really know what the estimates of the bottom line are going to look like.
I appreciate your input on that, Representative Hansen, and my concern in that regard was that we do have the monopoly amongst the 234 distilled spirit stores, and the concern is that as we move, and as Mr. Bowe has indicated, as you move product away from the OLCC sales, so as the distilled spirits, then the potential is that you're going to be moving into much more profitable items and selling less of the distilled spirits, and that would be a way to try and compensate for that. We started with a straight offset on that.
Mr. Chair, can I offer a suggestion?
Please.
You could end the sentence there and then add into the next sentence talking about establishing implementation standards that includes minimizing the impact on states' distribution revenues so that they can look at ways to mitigate that through the process. That would achieve both. It give you the opportunity to look at any options that might be out there.
Yes,
I suppose I'm just unclear why we have an offset at all, given the level of compensation of the agents that we saw in the testimony. I'm not clear why we would have any offset of the sale of from the sale of beer and.
I think the concern, Representative Leonard, was that if there are other items being sold through the liquor stores, of especially beer and boutique wine nature, and it reduced the gross liquor sales, then the state will have been damaged to the extent that the gross liquor that it can, has total and exclusive control over would have been reduced. And that, I think, what we were looking for was to the extent that, and these are all fairly high margin items, you know, the items that we're talking about, presently the rate is 8.54% of gross commission, and what we're talking about are, when we get into the boutique wines and those kinds of things, we're looking at very high margin, much more than 100% more than the 8.54%. The offset, in other words, if they're making 20% gross profit, then should 10% of that gross profit be divided with the state? And I think the point is well taken that Representative Hansen made is that we don't know what that will come out to be, and that probably should be left to the study as we examine that. If they determine that there would be a reduction, and thus a reduction in gross liquor volume, then the compensating factor would be that the state would receive, enjoy some portion of the benefit of the gross profit. And I'm going to guess that in the boutique lines, the gross profit margin, and I know very little about it, other than probably 10 or 12 years ago, when we were involved in some of those markets, but they're probably running 50%, I would think.
Do you have some reason to think that the sales would decrease? I know nothing about it, but my assumption would be drawing more people into liquor stores than were there, and might potentially increase there.
And that's what we're trying to encourage when we talk about the collateral sales of distilled spirits. You should try and offer products that would promote the other. And if that were to happen, then it would be inappropriate to come back and say we want any percentage. Mm-hmm. At that particular point.
It's certainly not our intent in any way to displace the primary product, which is distilled spirits, which the agents are contracted for to sell, and that is their primary responsibility. And in Oregon, because of the ways we have sold distilled spirits since Prohibition, people go to a liquor store to buy distilled spirits. A wine or a beer purchase is going to be incidental to their destination, primary purpose, which is to buy some variety of distilled spirits. So we don't anticipate, but we're very, very open and understand the concern that if, after implementation, it should be determined that the state has been damaged by in any way, despite any of the rules that Pam and her cohorts might develop to prevent that, then that's certainly a legitimate topic to bring back on the table and look at some sort of adjustment mechanism.
Senator Colbert,
how are we going to share the revenue from with the package liquor store as they sell distilled spirits? How will kind of the division will it be?
Presently, we already have a commission arrangement on that.
The package store already sell?
Joan Butler, Senator Troll, package store licensees do not sell distilled spirits. If that were to occur, I would assume that you'd go to a license system, where you would license various entities to sell distilled spirits.
I'm sorry, Senator, I thought you were talking about our licensed stores that are all around.
I'm talking about the package stores that apparently now are going to sell distilled spirits. They normally have been set up to do something else.
Right.
People generally go to them not to buy distilled spirits, but to buy something else. Now they're going to sell.
Yeah.
And we've got an arrangement in our own stores, a split of the revenue. You think what we'll just sell it to them wholesale and they'll make a profit on it?
Senator Turrell, the way the state of Michigan now does it is they license a store of some sort to sell distilled spirits, and they give them a discount. In other words, you take the commission that we now convert it to a discount. You could structure it so that we get the same amount of revenue. I think the real question in allowing package stores to sell distilled spirits is proliferation and availability of the product.
Sounds like it's so. This budget note's going to be full of conundrums. How do you do this?
It's a hot topic.
Am I getting just one more question? Am I gathering that this budget note is almost an authorization that this is going to happen, and we're supposed to make these plans and back to e-board, the e-board will say, go ahead and do these things? That's not what you mean by this. E-board doesn't have authority, basically, to initiate legislation, so I don't know what authority the e-board has. Do you see any final changes have to be done by legislation?
Yeah, legislation would have to authorize anything other than our current liquor store arrangement, would they not?
Chairman Butler, that's correct. You would have to change the statute to allow the package stores to sell distilled spirits. The issue of beer and wine in liquor stores, we have a related items list that's done by administrative rule. We could modify that to allow them to sell beer and wine. So that could be done by administrative rule.
My guess is you want to be careful about doing that.
That's the liquoration issue that she's got. Senator Lynn.
And if it does happen, then who's going to distribute this to the taste of beer and wine? Or is this about it, or the private distributor they do that?
Chairman Butler, Senator Lynn, my understanding is that this would be done by the current wholesale distribution system. We would not, I don't believe, want the task of purchasing the beer and wine, and we would not be set up to do that at all.
And some of the discussions, Senator Lynn, I'm told that you're aware, in some of the discussions with the commission members, we tried to, and staff, we tried to determine what it would look like to try and micromanage that, and it got to be pretty potent, and so we thought the best thing for them to do would be to go ahead, and I think we can go ahead and authorize Mr. Glashen with regard to that 50%. The point is well taken that Senator Leonard has made, and that is that we need to come back and just examine that issue there, and have that the concern was that we did not want a reduction, and that was a concern that was brought up with Mr. Bowe previously, that we did not want a reduction necessarily in the package sales of distilled spirits, rather, not package sales, distilled spirits, and that this would compensate for that. But if we could direct the legislative fiscal office to modify that so that the percentage issue would come out of there, I think that would be more acceptable. But we didn't want to get to the point, and again, from my own experience, I think what you could do is you could find out you're not trying to compete with the stores next door. You could find out exactly from the retailers which of the products are not being carried close by, and it's to the retailer's benefit to have those products available and those boutique and specialty products available. And again, as a collateral sale to encourage the combination of sales of the distilled spirits at the same time, people picking up those things at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am uncomfortable with changing the tenuous balance that we have today. I'm very supportive of, as I mentioned to Brian, increasing the remuneration that goes to the agents, because I think they are, frankly, in some cases, we've seen evidence that they are not being compensated in what I would consider to be, as a small businessman, a fair amount that would give me incentive to stay in the business if I were doing that. I suppose it's fine to go ahead and look at studying this issue to see how this could be done to minimize impact. I sort of agree with Senator Lynn that, you know, I would hate to see this become a camel with the nose under the tent issue. It would seem to me if we're going to allow Safeway to sell distilled spirits, then that destroys the need for liquor stores at all. It seems to me that if we're going to allow very limited issues for liquor stores to sell in terms of specialty beers and high-priced wines, that may be doable, but I would want to see that expanded beyond that. because if we're going to go that far, then I think we ought to deregulate the whole thing and privatize it and get out there in a free market system. The situation works now, although I don't like the compensation amount. I think agents need to be compensated more. I'm not sure how we get there, but I think we have to be really, really careful about doing this. I'm still of the opinion that the agent should be allowed by the agency to charge a premium price over the product and over the price of the product that is currently regulated by the agency, and allow them to keep a little additional profit. That's my personal perspective on the issue. So those are my comments, sir.
And we would hope that that's what the potential of adding the ancillary lines would be, so that they could add sufficient additional lines of product that are high-end product that are presently available, but may not be sold in the general area, and that would give them that additional profit change. Without cutting into the 8.54% base that the present experience.
Senator Lane? Thank you very much to Representative Crops' comment on this issue. I think we are talking about the same language. It is much easier just to privatize the OSCCs. Let them market itself instead of just giving certain boutique a special beer. Eventually, that the state control, the agencies, they are going to be the store, not only that the distilled spirits, but eventually beer and wine. Already they are selling related items, which I got a complaint from the attached stores. And then if we, as I see their number, the agencies, they are not making a rich. They are making just barely getting over, except a few of them. If you want to help them out, we need to increase the instead of 8.5%, 14% is more to the agency's low volume. But the continually moving this direction, it seems to me I smell with the study moving into that direction. And so I have a deep concern. I need to hear from the affected store the people on this issue, but to me it doesn't look good in moving toward that direction unless Catfish Store they have a very same leverage so they can sell the specialty hard liquor of the store. Otherwise, this is just a one-sided idea as far as I'm concerned.
Now, I want to make sure that it's understood that they presently have the authority under the administrative rules to proceed with any of that portion of allowing beers and wines to be sold on the list. That's presently available out there, and what we tried to do was we tried to go ahead and direct them in their feasibility that any expansions in the existing state liquor stores would be in items of specialty beers and boutique wine products that would encourage the people to come there that were buying other liquor products anyway.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to hear from the administrator whether they have such authority to do that at this time.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lund, we believe that we do have the authority to allow those products. In fact, a number of our liquor stores actually do, in situations where they're non-exclusive, in small towns primarily, where we have our liquor store in a small section in a grocery store, they also sell beer and wine. So we do actually have some situations where they sell all alcohol products. So we believe that we do have that authority.
Yeah. And, when OLCC approaches to that area, it's a special area, it's some rural area where that's such a source not accessible to the public, which I understand 100% agree to it, but by legislating or possibly studying after extension, that's a totally different matter. If OLCC could do it, why could we continue to do that in the future the way in a discretionary manner instead of our us giving them the authority, giving them a blessing, yeah, just to go ahead and spend it.
Probably going to do it in 9 minutes.
I could go through the rest of my recommendations and then we can carry this over until tomorrow. So you can get your decision.
Okay, so let's go ahead and have you and then you can rework the wording on the increase as well, and then relative to the gross profit, the 50% of the gross profit. And maybe that wording could be amplified. I think Mr. Bowe had a comment there previously that he didn't want to see necessarily the reduction of the retail sales of liquor as a result of any opportunity to increase those specialty type items.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I will do that. The second budget note is related to looking at any benefits the state might gain if the agent buyout provision is increased to 2.5% from the current 2% of the store's average annual gross alcohol sales for the last 5 years when they terminate their contract, and with that 0.5% increase going to the state distribution. The purpose of this budget note is to look at ways of increasing the distribution to general fund and local government. The director is to provide the report to the emergency board by July 2000. The third budget note directs the Liquor Control Commission to implement their recommendations to trim their liquor inventory and excess inventory in the liquor stores to achieve cost saving. It is anticipated that this will result in a one-time revenue yield of approximately $2.9 million. This budget note is in lieu of reducing any expenditures in or large amount of expenditures to achieve the 4% efficiency reduction, and that would have included reducing agents' compensation. And so in order to minimize the impact on the agents, we've elected to direct them to trim their inventory and produce that revenue savings. And the inventory reduction program should not adversely impact Oregon-based producers of distilled spirits. And the director shall provide a report on the results of these efforts to the emergency board by November 1st, 2000.
What do you expect to happen with that one? Do you expect them simply to quit buying for a while? And use up the inventory? What do you expect? How does that work? Is that something you guys want to do? Okay.
Do you want more?
Yeah. Maybe they can just sell it. Yeah. Are you just not going to buy for a while? Is that it?
Sharon Butler, Senator Chair, we have a fairly detailed plan that involves a whole series of things. We believe that we can trim our inventory with really little major impact. We have a large variety of products. We think it really can increase the efficiency of our operation, and we are committed to making the $2.9 million reduction.
Do you have control over your inventory now? Do you have to have a budget note to tell you to do that? Can't you do it on your own?
Senator Troy, that's certainly true. I think that what we had planned to do was to implement an automated system first and then to start working on asserting better control over the inventory. Without an automated system, it's a little more difficult to do it on an ongoing basis, but that system is actually going into effect fairly soon. We believe that we can do this now. It will take some additional effort. We will have to go through a whole series of procedures. We have worked out some political
sale.
Part of that is to take slow moving items, put them on sale, and get them out. We've worked through this with all our constituent groups, and we believe it's feasible, and we're committed to doing it.
Please, Chair.
Kind of recall.
Yes, I know, but I'm going to ask you a question. What's your total volume $4 dollar amount of inventory you carry usually?
I believe the inventory that we're talking about is that located out in our stores, and I believe it is approximately $12 million, and we would trim that back.
The amount we're talking about, then you said the $3 million is quite a bit.
That's correct.
Okay, I don't know whether you can learn effectively. As a small businessman, I buy a lot of inventory when there's a good price. So that way I save a lot of money and make some profit out of it. I don't know whether actual saving is a saving or are we losing some money.
Chairman Butler, Senator Lynn, that is the tricky part. We are confident we can do it. You have a lot better control when you're a monopoly.
No reason to buy an advance here. It's all the same price, and you only get the same amount out of it. You have the budget notes. If you go on call, we won't conclude our work session today. But if you have those budget notes, we'll just continue on.
The next three of the budget notes. Are in deference to their regulation programs. The Liquor Control Commission shall develop a proposal to balance the enforcement program by adding a component to focus on minors and furnishers. The director is expected to provide the legislature with a report on the results of these efforts to the appropriate policy and budget committees during the regular session. The sixth budget note, the commission is encouraged to implement proactive measures in lieu of civil penalties, including training for all clerks, purchase of slot machines, and alcohol lockup. The results of these efforts will be reported to the appropriate policy and budget committee during the next regular session. There is legislation, a substantive legislation, that puts this into effect. This is just a follow-up on those, or it will end up being a follow-up. And then the Liquor Control Commission shall provide a report to the Emergency Board by July 1st, year 2000, on the actual administrative cost to establish a license under transfer an existing license compared to fees charged. That is to find out whether or not licensees are paying for themselves, and if not, whether or not there needs to be an increase in those fee schedules. And the last budget note was requested by co-chairs that pursuant to provisions of House Bill 2884 that's making its way through the legislature, the OLCC shall address the investigation and prosecuting of out-of-state manufacturers, wholesalers, or retailers who violate Oregon liquor laws within the resources that are available to the commission for regulatory purposes. And with that, that is... LFO's recommendation.
Okay, are there any other questions? We'll plan on going through the crosswalk tomorrow when we meet. I'm not sure what our opportunity is going to be to spend a great deal more time. I would encourage you to go through that and then we'll have an amplification of that budget note number one. I appreciate your input, very valuable input. We've struggled long and hard on some of this, trying to do some give and take with the industry and with the Liquor Control Commission to try and find out at what level, again, trying to be concerned about making sure that we didn't lose our volume of sales, and trying to develop collateral sales of other products that would enhance the sales spirit for those folks that do come the existing package stores or existing licensee stores. I don't know, what do they call it? What's a liquor store? Just a liquor store, I guess. That's about the only way we can call it. Okay. Any other questions at this time? If not, we'll go ahead and recess until tomorrow.